it never crossed my mind not to come. I mean, it wasn't that big a decision. Why would I want to stay home, sit in the dark with no food? Why not come here? It's good to be with you. I told Paul after he had finished preaching that I would just sort of pick up right where he left off, especially the part where he said about Matthew in closing his message, that Matthew never got over the wonder of God's grace and mercy to him, did he? He just never got over it. I suppose that's probably one of the things I pray and ask God not to allow me to do more than anything else. Don't let me get over it. Don't let me get over your amazing grace. I'm capable of doing it. Are you, sad to say, take it for granted? Oh God, don't let me do that. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Darvin, thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting me back. I just say ditto to what Brother Paul said about the honor of being here. And it is an honor. I appreciate Darvin having me back. And as he said, our folks just love him. Love him. When I tell them Darvin's coming, they're always happy. Happy to hear that. And pray for me. Pray for me. Nothing's changed since I was here a year ago. I mean that I can't preach, Hanson. I still can't preach. David, you know this, unless God enables me to. So you pray that he will enable me to. Let me get a drink of this. 1 Peter 2. Let's read the first 7 verses together. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, those are not proper for a believer, but this is, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, this is God speaking, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. 3 times, verse 4, verse 6, and then again verse 7, which will be our text, that word precious is used. And each time, it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's precious to God. Verse 4. He's precious in himself. Verse 6. But let's consider verse 7. It should read like this. Unto you therefore which believe, he is preciousness. That's how it should read. Preciousness. Preciousness itself. And thank God that that's so. He is precious. Is he not? To every believing sinner. There's the question. Rather, there is no question about the preciousness of Christ, is there? Not to the believer. Not the believer. No question about that whatsoever. Unto you that believe, preciousness. Anything more precious to you, David? Anything in this world more precious to you than Jesus Christ? Again, verse 3. Unto you that believe, unto you that have tasted, The Lord is precious. You that have tasted his grace, you know that it's so. Last night when we got into Taylor, I had called Darvin earlier on the highway and invited myself to supper. And he didn't turn me down because my wife was with me, I think. But he's a good cook. He's got some skills. And after we had eaten, he asked about dessert, and he brought out a pineapple upside down cake. And he was complaining about it because it didn't come out just like it was supposed to. It had a little blemish in it. I didn't see a problem. But he was telling me as he flipped it out of the pan, he said, well, I should have taken a knife and I should have went around it before I flipped it and I should have did this and that to the upside down cake. And I said, Darvin, why are you telling me all this? I couldn't make an upside down or a right side up. Just give me a piece of it. That's all. Just let me taste it. Just let me taste it. And that's what Peter says. If so be ye have tasted. You have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you've tasted his grace, you know by your own sweet experience, you've been made a partaker of that grace. You know. It's not a matter of secondhand knowledge. It's not hearsay with you. You know that he's gracious. And him being gracious makes him precious to your soul. In Revelation chapter 2, the Lord talked about the church at Laodicea. And they said, you know, we're rich, increased with goods. We don't have need of a thing. And the Lord said, that's not so. That's not true. The reality is, though you don't know it, you don't realize it, you think otherwise, the truth is, you're poor, you're blind, you're miserable, you're naked. All but to the church of Sumner, he said, I know your poverty, but you're really rich. You're really rich, rich in God's grace. If you have Christ, the preciousness, now you can't put a value on that. What would you compare that to? What is the worth of knowing the Son of God? What is the worth, the value of Jesus Christ passing your way and say to you, you, me, of all people, follow me. Oh my, my, how do you get over that? That's the true riches. One old hymn writer, I don't think they know, who wrote the hymn? It's an old Irish hymn. Be thou my vision. Expresses it well, what I'm trying to say. One verse says, riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. O high King of heaven, my treasure, thou art. High King of heaven. He's the pearl of great price, isn't he? He's the one of whom Paul spoke when he said, I reach forward. I reach forward. I'm not apprehending yet. Oh, but I'm reaching for him. Christ, in whom are the unsearchable riches of God's grace. Moses, we read in Hebrews 11, was more than willing to forsake all the riches of Egypt, all the treasures of Egypt, all those earthly riches for what? For Christ. For Christ. And that's what I pray, that God would be pleased to just, as another hymn writer, I use old hymns a lot, Lord, draw back the curtain of memory now and then, Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remind me of that. Mr. Newton, old John Newton, was visiting one of his members who had lost all of her earthly possessions a night before in a fire. And Mr. Newton went in and he said, "Ma'am, I've come to congratulate you." And she said, "Congratulate me, sir? Congratulate me on the loss of everything?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, I've come to congratulate you that you still possess that which you can never lose. Jesus Christ, the preciousness." David Coleman used to sing a song. Many of you have heard it. "Remind me, dear Lord. Remember I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord." Your son-in-law, last year when he was with you and Don and preached at our conference in Sylacauga, he sang a song that I think he wrote. I believe your wife told me he wrote. "Dear Lord, remember me. Remember me." The problem is not that he'll forget us. No, that's not the problem. As he said in Isaiah, "Can a mother forget her sucking child? Oh, perhaps she will, but not me. I'll never forget you." The problem runs in the other direction of me forgetting him. Again, a story about Mr. Newton. He was a friend of William Jay, and after Newton had gone to glory, William Jay was visiting the house where Newton lived. And he went up into the attic where Newton kept his study. And over the desk, or opposite the desk, or rather on the wall opposite the desk, in great big large letters, Newton had this written concerning his deliverance. He never wanted to forget it. You remember what he wrote? "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." Oh, he never got over, did he? But this is what he had written over his desk. "And thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee." God redeemed thee. That's worth something. That means something. These were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh yes, remind me, dear Lord. Peter wrote in his epistle, I think his second epistle, it's proper, it's meet, it's the right thing to do. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, this flesh, yet alive, to stir you up by way of remembrance. Old John Bunyan in his famous allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, when Christian and Hopeful were nearly within sight of the celestial city, they came across what Bunyan referred to as enchanted ground. And Hopeful said, "I feel so drowsy. All of a sudden I'm just so sleepy. Could we just lay down here and rest a while?" And Christian said, "Oh no, no, remember, we were warned about this place. We can't tarry here. Oh, let us not sleep as do others." Yes, remind me, dear Lord. Brother Scott Richardson, and you brethren remember this, he used to say, "Oh God, help us never to get over that first love." From Revelation 2 and 4. And Scott called it that sweetheart love. That sweetheart love. Oh, the freshness of it. The wonder of it. The just excitement of it. The first love. You mean Jesus Christ loved me? As Paul mentioned a moment ago, he came on purpose. He loved me before the world was, with an everlasting love. He accepted me as the gift from His Father and agreed in the covenant of grace to come in the fullness of time and to do everything that God Almighty required, that justice demanded, to live for me, to die for me, to arise for me, and intercede for me. You mean He did that for me? Wow. Wow. Oh, that sweetheart love. Oh, yes. Remember, our Lord told the church of Laodicea, remember, that's the remedy. Just remember. Let's take a walk, briefly, down memory lane. Especially this memory. Christ is preciousness. Christ is preciousness. There was a lady teaching a Bible class of young children. And they read this text in 1 Peter 2 and 7. Christ is preciousness. And the teacher asked them, what do you think that means? What's that mean? And one little girl raised her hand. She said, well, Father told us this morning that Mother was precious, because where would we be without her? Where would you be without Jesus Christ? Where would you be tonight? I guarantee you one thing, you wouldn't be sitting here hearing the gospel, would you? It's Friday night. You'd be out there doing what you used to do. What multitudes are still doing. It's Friday night. My soul, this is the last place I would want to be. Oh, but Christ in His mighty grace. Yes, He is precious. For instance, remember when God first woke you up. What did old Barner call it? Getting men lost. Remember when God got you lost? Oh, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, He first showed you your need of Him. You had to be lost before you could be found. That's just a fact. That's just so. You've got to be stripped before you were clothed. That's just so. You were brought down. You were brought down before He lifted you up by His mighty grace. You say, well, Larry, that's not news. Everybody knows that. When is the last time, David? When is the last time you talked to a lost man? When's the last time you talked to anybody that said, I'm the sinner? When's the last time? Oh, as old Joseph Hart put it, what comfort can a Savior bring to those who've never felt their woe? Oh, a sinner is a sacred thing. Only God can make him so. Only God can make a sinner. God brings you down. Oh, and how He can change your tune. My father, one of his favorite expressions, I probably told you this, like Paul said, it's hard to remember what the illustrations you've used when or where. But it's been a year, so you probably forgot it if I did use it a year ago. But my father would say, son, if I would balk at doing something that he would tell me to do, and there was no go stand in the corner, Larry, we're going to have a timeout. My dad didn't subscribe to that stuff. The timeout would be his belt on my behind. And I'd be hollering for a timeout. But he would say, son, I won't tell you twice. I've done told you. And I bet I can change your tune. Oh, he could sure do it. And God Almighty, I'm so thankful that He changed my tune, aren't you? I won't come. He said, you will come. I won't bow. Oh, but you will bow. I'm not willing. You'll be willing. in the day of my power. Thank God for his almighty grace when he turned the light on. Oh, that's a painful business, isn't it? Is that what Newton meant when he wrote, "It was grace that taught my heart to fear"? What do you mean, Newton? You never feared before. You wasn't afraid when you were shaking your fist in the face of God on that ship at sea, when you were the captain of a slave ship and afterwards a slave yourself. You didn't fear all that. What do you mean you fear now? Oh, God. God woke me up, got me lost, and I realized there is a God. Not the God like I imagined him to be. Not the God that I would like him to be. Not the God like myself, but God high and holy and lifted up. And for the first time in my life, I asked myself the question, how can me, a sinner like me, be just with a God like him? Yes, he taught my heart the fear. Come down, sinner. Then, don't you remember? Then it wasn't, well, I'm not as bad as my neighbor next door. He changed your tune. It used to be before that, well, I'm just as good as all those people down at the church. I used to work with a fella, he was one of the supervisors in the shop that I worked at the University of Kentucky. Every year at our conference in Danville, I would invite him and bring a brochure of the services and so forth. And he'd say, nobody's down there. Every church I've ever been to, they're just hypocrites. They're all hypocrites. I've been in there. They're all hypocrites. Man, that's all he'd ever say. And finally, I got tired and said, why don't you come anyway? There's room for one more. Come on down. He'd never been brought down. Oh, people that have been brought down, that God's gotten lost, they don't talk that way. They don't say, well, I'm just as good as everybody else. No, no, no. Oh, they sing a different tune, like the publican. Lord, he didn't say, I'm just as good as that Pharisee. I'm worse than that Pharisee ever thought I was. He's looking down on me, grateful he's not like me. He doesn't know the half of it. I'm the sinner. I'm the sinner. I won't argue with him. I'm the sinner. There's not another one like me. And you know what he looked to? Christ, his propitiation. God, be propitious. Be merciful to me through your sacrifice. Oh, the sinner. And I suppose, that's what old Newton meant when God spoke peace to his heart after stripping him, teaching his heart to fear. He said, oh, how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed? Remember. Oh, a decision wasn't enough, was it? You couldn't be satisfied like the multitudes in our day of just walking an aisle and saying the sinner's prayer. Many are satisfied with that. Oh, but when God strips a man, that won't be enough. I've got to have mercy. Nothing else would do. Nothing else will satisfy. Nothing else will give me peace within. Martin Luther said, if you see yourself as a little sinner, you'll see Christ as a little Savior. And I declare anyone that can find hope in a Savior that needs their help must not need very much help. But we need a mighty God and Savior, don't we? None else but a mighty God and Savior, and that's exactly who Jesus Christ is. What happened? God, who is rich in mercy. No other explanation. God, who calls the light to shine out of darkness, shined into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a sight that was. If someone would have asked me then, Larry, What's most important to you now? What's most precious to you now? Right now, who's your first love? There'd be no hesitation. No need to think about it. No stuttering. Oh, it's Jesus Christ. He's preciousness. Let me tell you what he's done for my soul. There's a whole lot I didn't know. There's still a whole lot I don't know. But like that blind man that our Lord healed and was excommunicated by the Pharisees, he told them before they kicked him out, well, one thing I know. You fellas are smart. You got your degrees, doctors of theology. But one thing I know I was lost. I know I was blind, but now I see. I know that. Now y'all just have it. Y'all can have it. And he went on his way. Oh yes, how precious did that grace appear. I wonder how precious our Lord appeared into the eyes of that leper. You don't need me to recount leprosy, how horrible it was. And they were outcast. The priest said, you're unclean. Get out. Leave family. Leave society. You can't dwell. If a stranger would approach them, perhaps wasn't familiar with the laws, that leper would have to warn him, wouldn't he? He'd have to shout, I'm unclean. Don't come near me. I'm unclean. I wonder how long it'd been, that leper in Mark 1. I wonder how long it'd been since he had felt the touch of another person's hand. Wonder how long it'd been. And he came to Jesus and kneeled down before him and said, if you will, there are not words to describe the sincerity, the anguish, the longing, the turmoil, the fear, the struggle going on within his breast when he said, oh Lord, if you will. And he's praying, oh, I hope he will. I hope he will. He doesn't have to. He doesn't owe it to me. There's nothing I can do to earn it. It's all a matter of his mercy and his grace. Oh, and he falls down in the dust before Jesus Christ and says, oh, if you will, if you just will, you can make me clean. How precious did the Son of God appear to that man as he saw him reaching out, touching him and said, I will. Oh, I will. Be thou clean. How precious did that grace appear? How precious was he to blind Bartimaeus? And we could go on and on. Because all these miracles are just pictures of his saving of a sinner. His great salvation. How about that woman with that issue of blood? Just trying to make her way through that crowd, the multitude. She had one desire, one need, one motive, one ambition. I've got to get to him, Hanson. If I've got to get down on my knees and crawl through these people, whatever, I've got to get to him. Because I'm dying. I'm dying. Nobody else can help me. They've tried. They failed. I've got to get to the great physician. Oh, can you just picture her? She presses through. Keeps pressing through. Finally, she's close enough. She's close enough to reach out. Just barely reach with all her strength and touch the hem of his garment. And bam, she's made perfectly whole. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Didn't he, believer? Oh, my soul. What a Savior. She touched him. But it wasn't what flowed from her. No, no, no. It's what flowed from him. Her was disease and pollution and uncleanness. Oh, but from him, grace, full of grace, full of truth, flowed into her diseased body, and she was made whole. Oh, the vilest offender that truly believes, that very moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Do you think she went skipping down the road singing something like this? Oh, he touched me. You think maybe? Did she know that song? I think she did. He touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me. The Son of God touched me and made me whole. He is preciousness. Notice now. He is. Present tense. Christ has grown not less, but more precious, hasn't he, child of God, with the passing of time? He's not changed. He's still altogether lovely. You can't say that about anything else or anyone else. He's lost none of his beauty. None of his merit, none of his worth, none of his power. He's altogether lovely. With everything else in life, we have to say change and decay all around I see. Oh, but thou who changest not, abide with me. John Flavel wrote this. He said, the beauty of the rose of Sharon is never lost or withered. As his body in the grave saw no corruption, so neither can his love or any of his excellencies. Other beauties have their prime, and then they fade. You were talking about a picture when you fellows were young. All flesh is grass. I was young at one time too. We all fade, not Jesus Christ. He abides forever the same. Our delight in creatures is often most at first acquaintance. When we come nearer, when we get to know them better, our delight is abated. But the longer you know Christ, and the nearer you come to him, still the more do you see of his glory. Every further prospect of Christ entertains the mind with fresh delight. Blessed be God for Jesus Christ, Flavel wrote. His worth, his merit, his preciousness, his person never loses its value, does it? It's the efficacy of Christ's sacrifice, who he is, the dignity of his person that gives value to everything he did. Who died? Who died? Oh, then, no wonder his blood is precious. No wonder he redeemed us to God. No wonder he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. No wonder he's God and he's man. He's the God-man mediator. Notice again verse 4. To whom coming? To whom coming? A lot of folks, religious folks, they can tell you about to what they've come, to what they arrived at, what they know, but not whom, not whom. What did not suffer and die? What wasn't made sin? Flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, one made like unto his brethren. When that mob came in John 18 to take him in the garden, and the great shepherd of the sheep steps forward in front of his fearful disciples, and he says, whom seek ye? He didn't say, here's my word, take it. Here's my teaching, take it. Here's my doctrine, take it. No, he said, here am I, take me. Take me. Whom? Whom? Here am I, take me. Once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Oh, Larry, how can you get over that? He loved me, and he gave himself for me. Oh, child of God, does he not grow more precious in your sight after every trial, after every storm? When your little vessel is just being tossed, wave after wave after wave, we've all been there, and we're thinking, this is it. I'm a goner, darling. This last one's got me. I'm gone. I'm going down. I'm at my wit's end. I've talked to everybody I know to talk to. I've sought advice. I'm gone. Nobody can help me. And then here he comes. The Son of God. The preciousness that has his way in the whirlwind. He comes walking up on the sea and says, it is I. Don't you be afraid. He spoke that verse to me on more than one occasion. Oh, what a storm was raging within my heart. Larry, it is I. Don't be afraid. Preciousness. We learn to trust him more, do we not? He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Period. No exceptions. No exceptions. They shall never perish. Once in Christ forever, nothing from his love can sever. While his power and grace endure, all who trust him are secure. He's most precious because he's the only door. Only door. He's one of a kind. He's the only way to the Father. He's the only mediator. He's our righteousness. God made him to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Paul says he's our only acceptance before God Almighty. Oh, I want to be found in him, Paul said, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of faith of Christ. I want to be with him. I remember when God first spoke peace to this sinner's heart. Darvin, I remember lying in bed that night. And I thought, my soul, did he really say that to me? Larry, thy sins which are many are all forgiven thee. I thought, can it be? My soul, am I dreaming? Is this real? Oh, the wonder of that first taste of his grace and his mercy. My old friends began to spread the rumor. Did you hear about Larry? Haven't seen him lately. He's not doing the things he used to do. He's not running with us anymore. I think he got religion. No, Larry didn't get religion. Larry tasted God's grace. Christ got Larry. It's what happened. And you know what? In John 17, in his high priestly prayer, we're wrapping this up. In addition to everything else he said, sort of adds the icing to the cake when he said, Father, I will also that all those that you've given me be with me where I am. David Edmondson, he wants you with him where he is. If he wills it, it'll be there. We'll be there. If he wills it, if he wants Larry Chris with him in glory, satisfied awaking in his likeness, I'll be satisfied when I see him, and he's going to be satisfied when he sees me. to travail of his soul. If he wills that I be with him, who's going to stop it? Who's going to hold me back? Let me close this with a quote from another old hymn. Jesus precious, says the word. What comfort does this truth afford? And those who in his name believe, with joy this precious truth receive. Not health, nor wealth, nor sounding fame, nor earth's deceitful empty name, with all its pomp and all its glare, can with the precious Christ compare. He's precious in his precious blood, that pardoning soul cleansing flood. He's precious in his righteousness, that everlasting heavenly dress. And as they draw near their journey's end, how precious is their heavenly friend. And when in death they bow their head, he's precious on a dying bed. When the books are open, and death and hell are given up the dead that are in them, and there's no hiding place, and all men are ushered into the presence of a thrice holy, august God, and every name, everyone rather whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, are being cast out into everlasting darkness. How precious will Christ be? Brother Lindsey Campbell, a brother in the church at Danville, many of you know him, and Larry can relate to this especially. During his family reunion that he would have once a year, it would include getting together to play a golf tournament. Whoever he could arrange to play against his family, the Campbells. Is that right, Larry? And one time he was scheduled to play at the country club, a private club in Danville. I got there early. I'd never been there. I wasn't a member. Paul, they wouldn't let me in. But I was there waiting for Lindsay to show up, and this guy kept eyeballing me. And finally he swallowed up next to me. He says, how you doing? I said, I'm doing all right. He said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm going to play golf. He said, you're playing here? I said, well, I plan to. He said, are you a member? I said, no, sir, I'm not. He said, you can't play here. You've got to be a member. About that time, Lindsay comes through the door, and I said, I'm with him. That guy said, oh, okay, thank you. And when this sinner is brought into the presence of God, I looked at Jesus Christ and said, I'm with him. I'm with him. Well, then enter on in to the joy prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. God bless you. God bless you.